This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show here on placetobenation.com, and now your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino.
Another edition of the Steve Carino Show. I am your host, the masked hero himself, Mr. Wrestling 3. But under this hood, I'm the king of old school Steve Carino, 20-year veteran of the wrestling wars. I'm the brain to Kevin Kelly's gorilla, father, husband, lover of Dancing with the Stars, and now a podcaster every week with the Steve Carino Show. The Steve Carino Show is brought to you free, courtesy of the Place to Be Nation, and will remain free because we are super cool dudes. Yeah. But if you want to contribute, and I beg you to, I mean ask you to, you can head on over to worldofcarino.com and buy a now limited edition 20th anniversary t-shirt, and we'll get into why it's a 20th, why it's a limited edition 20th anniversary shirt. Or if you're going to buy something from High Spots, and you should, check on the High Spots banner on worldofcarino.com. They got multiple editions of Old School, which are pretty fun, and $5 wrestling from WrestleCon, where me and cultural icon Freight Train have a little run-in. You can see that on YouTube if you punch in $5 wrestling at WrestleCon. Me and the Freight Train get into a little bit, and I'm not sorry for anything I said to him. Okay, a little bit. It was kind of sad. But that's my spiel for right now. We have a lot to talk about tonight on the Steve Carino Show. Before I even start, it's Mother's Day weekend. I want to wish all the mothers out there a very happy Mother's Day. It's one of my favorite holidays, even though I'm not a mother, I'm a father. Father's Day is my favorite holiday. But we have three guests tonight, just three. You know, last week we had Rob Dimension, the premiere week we had Cliff Compton. This week I've pulled my mother, Marianne, she's going to be on the show, then my mother-in-law, Shell Pack, and there's a reason I call her Shell Pack, and then to finish it out, the main event will be my wife, Jordan, will be here with me, and if you were a fan of the Extreme Odd Couple podcast, you could hear her every once in a while. She is very shy and very nice. The total opposite of her husband in so many ways, besides like the boy and girl thing. She's in awesome shape. I'm not. She's really, really nice. I'm not. She's beautiful. Hell, I'm not. I don't know what she sees in me. And she just got new glasses, so I can't blame it on that. But we're going to have a lot of wrestling talk today. And I'm excited because I got to watch a lot of wrestling over the last few days. We're going to talk about Extreme Rules. And it's funny, with all the crap that's going on with Extreme and Hardcore companies in the last few weeks, I had a feeling Extreme Rules was going to get canceled. But guess what? It didn't. It looked great. I watched it on the WWE Network on Monday. We're going to talk about my hatred of Wendy's. Yeah, I had a little incident this weekend at Wendy's, and that was it on the list. Zoo Atlanta, we went to the Braves game, the Mr. Wrestling 2 tribute show, and oh, so much stuff. Now, before we went on the air, I was talking to my man Dan McGinn. Don't call him McGinn. Dan McGinn, our producer. And I told him, you know, it's very hot in North Carolina right now, but I'm like cold. Like, I have old man cold going on, right? And I'm wearing a Snuggie, Phillies, of course, and I'm drinking a cup of tea. Man, I'm not much of a man.
You know, Steve, at times like this, you almost wish that this was a video podcast and not an audio podcast.
Oh, no, you don't want to see the video podcast, because right now I'm like between haircuts, and I'm really gray. I'm very, very, very gray. And I bought some stuff to take care of that for just in time for the big ROH show this weekend in Toronto. So years and years and years of dyeing my hair blonde. Now I got to dye it like to my original color to keep it from being freaking gray. And it sucks. It sucks to get old. I look in the mirror and, you know, I see three or four chins and I'm gray and my beard and my hair. And, you know, and I'm not like a George Clooney type of guy that's gray and that looks, you know, super good. I'm more like your creepy guy that dresses up in a clown outfit and scares children. And it's awful. But yeah, I had a great week, you know, and I love the feedback we got from the Rob Dimension show. That was a lot of fun. Let's start it off with what I did during the weekend. Now, I was going to Atlanta, Georgia to take part in the Mr. Wrestling 2 tribute show. And before you ask, no, he did not die. And I think I'm very much in favor of having a show before a guy dies. You know, there's so many things that could go wrong, and the guy's going to die, and then we have a tribute show, and then the promoters are always asking you to work for free because they're cheap. And they think like, oh yeah, that's the way that guy would have wanted it. And Rob Dimension and I have talked about it many times of like how I would book my memorial show. And I would definitely book my memorial show before it was booked for me, because I don't want like some scumbag like Ian Rotten, you know, doing a Steve Corino memorial show when I hated his guts. So my wife and my son, my little son Beckham, decide that they're going to go with me for the weekend. And I thought it was great because, you know, we don't get to travel together that much. And Atlanta is about a 7-hour ride from where we live. And, you know, which isn't bad for me, but when you have a 5-month-old, you know, that could be pretty hairy. And Beckham is not a big wrestling fan yet. You know, where my oldest son, Colby's huge wrestling fan, and in fact is a wrestler. You can follow him on Twitter at Go American Tiger. But Beck, he likes baseball, and, you know, he likes Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, but wrestling, I'm not too sure on. So my wife and Beckham have a morning photo shoot for these Mother's Day photos that they're getting. If you go on Twitter and also go on worldofcarino.com, I put a few of them up. And they're amazing. The lady that did them in Cedar Point, North Carolina, did a great job. They both look like models. It was amazing. And I think if you go on worldofcarino.com and see some of the pictures, you'll want to get pictures done by them. So we make the ride down to Atlanta, and my wife eats very good. She like I said, she's the opposite of me. But on the way, we're running out of time. It was a little longer than we thought it was going to be. We end up stopping at McDonald's Wendy's. It's usually McDonald's that screws up. But we stop at Wendy's in South Carolina. And there are times, and I'll admit, there are times when I can be sensitive. My wife likes to compare me to Cam on Modern Family, where he's very sensitive and I'm very sensitive. I get it. I don't like drive-through. I don't like because I don't like onions, and I always believe that you're going to get screwed in drive-through. I'm trying to think. What was that movie where Joe Pesci always says, "Hey, you always get fucked in drive-through"? Was it one of the Lethal Weapons, Dan?
It might be. I'll have to look that up.
If you know it, tweet it to us at Steve Corino Show. But I've always had that like animosity towards the drive-through. My wife, once again, nicest person in the world, she says, let's go through drive-thru so we don't have to take the baby out. We go. I order something simple. I order Caesar salad, you know, a nice side Caesar salad, spicy chicken sandwich, a medium Diet Coke. Not because I'm on a diet. I like the taste. My wife, she gets a plain grilled chicken sandwich and a dry potato and a medium Diet Coke. Instead, we get salad with no dressing, no fork, nothing. 3 bags of croutons, of course. We don't get any straws. We get regular Coke and we get like extra larges. It was to the point where, like I said, you know what? They screwed us again. So on the receipt, I call and I say, you know, I asked to talk to a manager. 5 minutes I'm on hold. Now I'm fuming. Manager, oh, he's not in today. Okay. You're going to tell me that you're not in today? Oh, it's 2014, and I'm a letter writer. this morning, I have a little time. I would go to Wendy's.com. I got my whole receipt there. Oh, it felt so good just to put that complaint in and who I was complaining to. And I said, these people want, what, $15 an hour to work at in the drive-thru? And you can't get me a fucking thing of Caesar dressing? That's all I asked for. That's all I was asking for. Caesar dressing. I would have scooped it up with my hand if I had to. I get the fork. But how are you supposed to eat dry salad? It tastes like grass. It tastes like grass that one of those guys probably pissed on. Oh, I was mad. I was mad. But we end up going to the Mr. Wrestling 2 show, and it was great because I like to consider myself like a young veteran, if that makes any sense, where I get along with a lot of the older guys that I watched as a kid, and they end up treating me like I've been in wrestling for 40 years instead of 20. And one of those guys is the Masked Superstar, who was also Demolition Axe in the WWE. He's a guy that's always treated me like I've been on the road with him for, you know, since he was a Mongol. Oh yeah, he was a Mongol, people. Google it. So I get there and I'm selling stuff, and I feel bad to say this, but Joyce Grable, who is a Hall of Famer, the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in New York, not the WWE one, and we'll get into that in a second why, I'm seated next to her and I'm selling my stuff, I'm selling Steve Corino shirts and pictures, and I got a good line going, and she butts in and she goes, "You want to see my ring?" And I thought, why would I? And she shows it to me. She goes, "Huh, it's not no WWE ring. That's Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame." And I thought to myself, who gives a shit? I'm trying to sell merchandise here, lady. And she proceeds to tell me, like, I work for the WWE and I've decided never to allow Joyce Grable into my Hall of Fame, that this is the only Hall of Fame and everything. And I'm thinking, lady, I'm never going to be in anybody's Hall of Fame. You know whose Hall of Fame I'm in? The, what the hell was it called? Legend Championship Wrestling out of West Virginia. What makes that a great Hall of Fame is the promoter got busted for child porn. Are you kidding me? I'm in that Hall of Fame. And I think I'm in the Maryland Hall of Fame too. Maryland Championship Wrestling Hall of Fame. I don't know. But when it comes time for, like, WrestleMania weekend, and you're thinking like, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame this year? My name never comes up. You know, neither one. Like, I'm not going to be in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. I'm not going to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. So thanks, Joyce Grable, for throwing it in my face.
You know, Steve, you might make the Snuggy Hall of Fame if you keep.
All right, it's Billy Snuggy's the bomb. Yeah, so the show was okay now. For people that don't know, I was given the character of Mr. Wrestling 3 by Mr. Wrestling 2 in Hawaii about 7 years ago. And it was very weird how it all came to play. I was in Hawaii, and I was going back and forth between Hawaii and Japan, almost like the older days where, like, guys would stop off in Hawaii for a couple weeks, do a tour, go to Japan for 6 weeks, come back to Hawaii, finish up, go home. I would be there for a show or two and then go on to my Japan tour. But I had struck up a friendship with Mr. Wrestling 2, and it was offered to me about doing Mr. Wrestling 3, which was tough because here I was, you know, I had already made a name for myself in professional wrestling, and I'm basically, you know, redoing my own character. So we came up with these things of, you know, I'm basically a bad guy. And, you know, Mr. Wrestling and Mr. Wrestling 2, they were some of the greatest good guys of the 70s and 80s. So, you know, how are we going to parlay this and everything? And we made it look like, you know, we came up with this whole idea, and I really was honored that he would do that about that. He would do this for me. Is basically telling everybody, I am Mr. Wrestling 3, and I'm an evil guy. But once I put that hood on, I can become the baby face that I've always wanted to be. And it's worked, and I've done it a lot in Japan, and I've been doing it a lot over the last few months, and it's been fun. So, you know, to do Mr. Wrestling 3 on a Mr. Wrestling 2 show was, you know, certainly an honor. And it was great because they had advertised me as me. you know, and then when I got in the ring, I had the Wrestling 3 gear on, and then I take off the mask and I put it on, and people reacted. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm finally getting this thing going. So the show went well. We went back to the Red Roof Inn. My poor little boy was up 3 hours past his bedtime, but he did great. His first time in a hotel, the Red Roof Inn, not so good. But, you know, we got up early, and we went to the zoo. Now, taking a five-month-old to the zoo could be very, very dangerous. You know, they could cry, they could moan, they could sleep. There could be a lot of crap that goes on. Not my boy. My boy was up and ready and looking at every animal that he could, you know, see, and it was so much fun, you know. But he was a big fan of the panda. He ended up taking like pictures in front of the panda exhibit, and he's got a giggle on his face because he loved it so much. So anybody out there, I highly recommend Zoo Atlanta, and just to take your kids. It wasn't too busy. It wasn't too hot. The giraffes were nice. It didn't smell like shit like the Philadelphia Zoo. It was great. And then right from there, we went to the Braves game. It's my second time going to an Atlanta Braves game. And, you know, growing up a Phillies fan, I've hated the Braves. I hated them. I despised them. The teams of the 90s, oh, come on. I Chipper Jones, I still don't like him. But the Atlanta Braves staff is so nice. They are so, so freaking nice. And, you know, they treated us well. They gave, you know, because it was his first visit, the staff went, like, beyond what they should have done for a five-month-old kid that will never remember that he went to the game. But he had a blast. I had a blast, you know. And then driving home, it was Sunday night. And I thought, man, I'm missing the pay-per-view. Extreme Rules is going on. But then I thought again, well, hell, I got the WWE Network. This is great. I'll just watch it, you know, on Monday before Raw, I'll get all caught up and everything. So the WWE has just been on a roll lately, just creatively and what they're doing with the younger guys coming up. And I just really enjoyed the product top to bottom. And over the years, I have always kept my, you know, not disdain, but you know, if I was critical about the product, I've never like said it out loud because I just think it's stupid. There's so much wrong with an independent wrestler that goes on Facebook or goes on Twitter and buries the WWE. One, it's childish, and two, it's just, why would you bury a company that you would give your left nut to work for? I just never understood that. So, you know, I've always been like, oh, if I don't like it, I just don't talk about it, or I just don't watch it. And people that live to complain about certain things, move on. You know, I have DirecTV. There's 200 freaking channels out there. Put something else on. So Extreme Rules, I thought was amazing. And going in, I was not excited at all about Daniel Bryan and Kane, because being the wrestler and the armchair booker, you know that Kane isn't going to defeat him for the title. And I thought they did a great job of building Kane up once again to be that monster, the opposite of Mr. Wrestling 3. When he puts that mask on, he becomes the demon. He was corporate Kane without the mask. He puts the mask on, and he's the demon. And I loved it, and I thought him and Brian really worked their asses off and gave such a great, entertaining match. I loved it. The match between Evolution and The Shield was exactly how I would have loved to do it, you know, where I always think it's funny that guys like Randy Orton and Triple H and especially Batista always get buried by the quote-unquote smart fan because, you know, they're not cool like Sami Zayn or Kevin Steen or all these different guys. But if you watch Batista, Orton, and Triple H work with these three young guys, I thought it was amazing that, especially Batista. Batista, to me, was the MVP of that match because here he is, the guy that supposedly has a big ego and taking a swig of my tea there. He's got the big ego. He's got a big movie coming out. He's supposed to come back to all this fanfare and the fans crapped on him. and they made it so good, putting Bryan in the three-way for WrestleMania, Batista down in at WrestleMania, and then down again on the pay-per-view, and I don't think it hurt him because he worked his ass off. Randy Orton worked his ass off. Triple H is just a phenomenal worker. And it really, really brought Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns up another level. And I just loved it. And it gave just enough to where you want to see it again. And you saw Monday Night Raw, the ending segment with Evolution and the Wyatts and the Shield. And I thought, wow, this is a great, great feud. And I'm just really enjoying it. The match with the cage match between Bray Wyatt and John Cena was really good. I thought the fans in New Jersey didn't give John Cena a chance, and I believe this, and I'll tell you until I blew in the face. If you don't like John Cena, you're a bad person. Dan, do you like John Cena?
Oh, yeah, man. Hustle, loyalty, respect. I'm a card-carrying member of C Nation.
Right, because he's such a good guy.
Yeah, he's a Massachusetts guy, like myself. And but also, you know, he's a good ambassador. He does all those Make-A-Wish Foundation things. He's great with the kids. And, man, I can't imagine why anybody would dislike him unless they're just, you know, they just don't get it.
They're bad people. He loves professional wrestling. He loves what he does. He loves being the babyface. Oh, my God, he gets to sleep with Big Boo Bella every night. Like, this guy has the life that we all want. He looks like $1 million. He's super nice to people.
Can I give you a quote, as long as it's a Mother's Day show? My mom got into wrestling again when I started writing for PlaceToBeNation.com. And before this whole podcast thing started, my mom would call me after Raw and be like, did you see this? Did you see what happened here? Did you see Cena? And one time she was talking about John Cena, and she said to me, Dan, I love John Cena. He is, quote, he's the guy next door who's built like God. True story.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe him.
Yeah, Mama Mac original right there.
Oh, very good. I like it. Got to use it. You know, him and Bray Wyatt was great. Bray Wyatt, the exact opposite of John Cena. He's evil and he doesn't mind telling you. And Bray Wyatt on the microphone is gold. This guy, and then coming out on Raw last week with the choir, they have really found something. And I don't know about you, Dan, and I'm also ask the people out there at Steve Corino Show, do you people see Bray Wyatt as the next Undertaker? And I don't mean like the Undertaker. I mean just like a phenom and such an enigma and a character that's going to be able to evolve and be a babyface, even though it's a total heel. I believe that, you know, it's almost like a passing of the torch. I would have loved to see Undertaker lose the streak to Bray Wyatt, but, man, I'm telling you. It was a great pay-per-view overall. They don't call them pay-per-views anymore, right? It's just
special events or something of that sort now.
Special events. Yeah, it was a really good special event. I love the girls match. It was in a tough spot and the crowd didn't give it much what would you say? Heat. It was very quiet. And, I've known Brittany Knight, which, you know, and her name is, what was her name now? How can I forget? Who's the girls'
Paige?
Champion? Yeah, how did I forget her name? Yeah, I've known her since she was a little kid. You know, I worked for her parents over in England for the WAW promotion, and she's just such a nice kid, and I'm so happy for her success. And I just thought, like, their match was good, but the fans didn't give them much support, same as Big E, man. How has he lost it? Yeah, this Big E's great. I like to call him Black Michael Elgin. He's great. He's good in the ring. He's energetic. And the fans just loved Bad News Barrett. And it's so funny. Bad News Barrett's had, what, 4 matches in the last year and a half, and he's more over than he's ever been. And I really, really think the WWE is on a roll right now. And talking about roles, whew,
we got a lot more to talk about. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, you know, we'll start off with my mother. And the wrestling talk is not done. We still got to talk about Ring of Honor. We still got to talk about PWF. But, damn, where can I find the Steve Corino Show?
Well, Steve, I'm glad you asked. And actually, before I get into this, Steve, we're friends, right?
Yeah.
We're friends. Okay, cool. I hope I'm not coming too late with this. I know because we Skype and we Facebook, we tweet sometimes, you know. But I was watching Hardcore Heaven 2000 just before we went on the air. And I was watching it and I was like getting amazed. And I had to sit down and I had to turn away. And I saw your match with Tajiri because someone on this show, episode one, asked about that match. And I watched that match and I oohed and I aahed. And again, I hope I'm not 14 years too late with this, but are you okay, man?
Yeah, I'm all right. Why would you say that?
Well, you lost a lot of blood.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you were in that tarantula for a little bit. You got kicked in the face.
I had separated my shoulder on the brainbuster on the ramp. I didn't realize the ramp was that hard. I don't know what I was thinking. And then I broke my nose right before the finish.
Ugh.
Yeah. But I also got a raise that night.
I'm your friend though now, so I didn't know you at the time, but now I feel like it's my duty to see how you're doing as well.
You know what I'm ashamed of though? That promo. Promo is racist. Racist beyond all racism, and we're not talking Blazing Saddles racism, which apparently, and I'm so excited, comes out on Blu-ray. The 40th anniversary of Blazing Saddles comes out this week. I'm going to pick it up. Are you going to pick it up?
I see a Target run in my future, yes.
Oh, my wife won't watch it. She's watched it on AMC a little bit. And she can't get the gist of it. But, yeah, like I hated that promo. When Paul said, "I need you to say slant-eyed bastard," I'm thinking, ooh, I mean, this is 2000 when it was touchy.
Right.
Now, 2014, anybody that watches this are probably thinking, like, Steve Corino, man, he's probably a real racist. it was a night that I really got to hear Paul Heyman at his best. Paul Heyman giving me and Tajiri, who I know wasn't understanding the, okay, guys, this is about you. This is about you, Tajiri. It's not about Jerry Lynn and RVD or Lance Storm and Justin Credible or the Sandman and Rhino. Those may be the three advertised main event, but you guys are the main event. And we went, oh, yeah, we are. And we went out and just kicked the shit out of each other. Paul Heyman, if Paul Heyman was invading Poland, I'd probably be there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that he could make you do just by talking to you, like, what a motivator. Do you enjoy that show?
That show was great. It was one of those things. I threw it on earlier. I threw it on at like 2 a.m. because I couldn't sleep over the weekend. I just finished it up before we went on the air, and just great stuff. And just another reason to get the WWE Network if we can show for them for a little bit.
Yeah, apparently it cures Dan's insomnia.
Well, Brad is probably, you know, tapping on his watch right now so we can show for our production. So let me just tell you where you could find the Steve Corino Show. And you can find the Steve Corino Show in any of the following ways: by visiting placetobenation.com and clicking the Steve Corino Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. In addition, just by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes, you will automatically receive the latest episodes of the Steve Corino Show. You can also visit Stitcher.com and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast, or download Place to Be Nation podcast app, which I did this week. It's phenomenal. And you can do that by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile. on your iPhone or iPad. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Place to Be Nation and at Steve Corino Show, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation. Finally, if you have questions or suggestions for this show, email us at stevecorinoshow@placetobenation.com or tweet us at Steve Corino Show. And later on, we'll have some Twitter love during our final segment of this program.
Woo, some Twitter love. And we also got some good questions this week. I even got one from Rob Dimension, and I don't think, because he texted it to me, I don't think he wanted me to say it was from him, but I'm going to call him out on it anyway. So when we come back, we'll start it off with three important women in my life, starting with my mother. It's the Steve Carino Show.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, placetobenation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at placetobenation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pav. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the streets. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face.
And we're back on the Steve Carino Show, and I promised you earlier in the hour that it was a Mother's Day spectacular. What other podcast out there? And there's plenty, and there's really good ones, especially here on the Place to Be Nation. What other podcast is going to give you a Mother's Day special? That's the type of guy I am. And I have three very important ladies in my life, my mother, my mother-in-law, and of course my wife. So I decided, oh, I got to bring one of these on. Well, if I can't just bring one, I should bring all three. And I decided that the first one that would be on the show this week would be the one that brought me life, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Rayford, North Carolina, my mother, Marianne. Hello, Mama.
Hey, sweetie, how you doing?
I am doing well. We are kicking butt. Dan, say hi to my mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Dan.
Or is she
now,
Mama?
Mom, welcome to the Steve Carino Show. And you have to be a little bit happy. If you didn't create me, we wouldn't have created the show.
That's very true.
Now,
of course, I wouldn't have the white hair I have either.
I have white hair too. I was discussing that earlier in the hour. It's bullshit, isn't it? Like, what happens? I'm going to be 41 this month, and like my hair is gray, not as bad as my sister, but like who's younger than me. But what is it about our side of the family that has just gray hair? And it's got to be your side of the family that's got it. It's got to be the Mollier side. Because, you know, Dad still has pretty dark hair. And, you know, he's in his 60s. But, like, you and me and my sister Alice in Danger, we got white hair. What is going on? I'm about to dye it. I spent so many years dyeing it blonde. Now I got to dye it black.
That's funny. Yeah, it comes from the England side of the family.
Oh. Hey, I forgot to tell you. I wrestled a kid in England a couple weeks ago, and his real last name was England.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was Nan's maiden name.
Right. Now, she's got English blood, right?
Oh, absolutely. Her father's name was Charles England. He was from England. And Mary Morrison, your great-grandmother, was from Aberdeen, Scotland.
How about that? I want you all out there that are listening in the UK that bitch about my commentary. I'm one of you. I'm one of you. Stop saying that you want Nigel to have his job back. Okay, Mom, I went on a website because I was thinking, like, what questions do you ask a mother on Mother's Day weekend? And a very happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you.
Now, my question here is, when you were a little girl, did you dream about being a mother?
Not really. I really didn't even think about it until later on, late teens, early 20s.
So, it's not something you thought of, huh?
No, not really.
So when you found out that day in the 70s, you didn't go, oh, shit, did you?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Very excited.
All right. Here's a very important one. It's number 5 on the list. Who's your favorite kid, me or my sister? Okay, it's not really on there, but that's what I want to know. Now, remember, she doesn't have a podcast, and if she did, she would never bring you on.
I live closer
to you.
Let's do it this way.
I've given you 2 grandchildren as opposed to her 1.
But you're my favorite because you're the oldest, but she's also my favorite because she's the youngest.
I don't know. I used to tell her as a kid that you guys stopped having kids after her because she turned out so bad.
I know. I found that out later.
Okay, my last question, Mom, before I let you go. In 1983, you took me to my first live professional wrestling event at the Winnipeg Arena. I was 8 years old, on my way to being 9. Obviously, that makes sense that I would be 9 next. But did you ever fathom that when we went there and we saw Hulk Hogan and Jumpin' Jim Brunzel and Mad Dog Vachon and Sheik Adnan, Al Casey and Bobby the Brain Heenan, did you ever fathom that I would eventually make professional wrestling a living?
No, not at that age. But I heard from the time you were 3 years old, I'm going to be a wrestler, Mom.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow. Okay, and then when you grew so tall and skinny, it just seemed out of the range. But when you finally did get into it and you started bulking up, and then it became a reality.
I definitely filled it out. I can thank Dad's side of the family for that.
Yep, you sure can.
Whew, you're just weighing in at 249 pounds.
Owie!
Dan, when I started wrestling, my first wrestling match, I was 165. 20 years later, 250 pounds.
Well, it's called genetics.
And I think I've become a very good cook, too. I like to eat. Love to eat. Still allergic to onion, but I love to eat.
You were always a very good cook. I mean, even your meatloaf stuffed with cheese is good.
Oh, my chili's pretty awesome too, people. Maybe one of these days I'll put up the recipe on worldatcarino.com. But Mama, I'd like to thank you for coming on the Steve Carino Show, and I want to wish you once again a very happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, son. I appreciate it, and I'm glad I could help you out on this podcast.
Well, thank you very much to all your friends. We need the hits. Boom. All right, Mama. Thank you.
Okay, hon. Bye-bye.
Right. I want to thank my mom again for coming on. And now on the other line, and if you're wondering, the Steve Carino Show has got multiple lines. Oh, yeah. On this line, though, we have the mother-in-law of all mother-in-laws. And, you know, there's always been that age-old joke about the bad mother-in-law and everything like that. Well, I have the opposite. I have the coolest mother-in-law in the entire world, and she's on with us now, and she's normally known as Shell Pack. Shelly, how are you doing tonight?
Wonderful, and thank you for the intro there. Very nice.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny is that you are like the anti mother-in-law stereotype. And it's funny because, you know, Rob Dimension has the worst mother-in-law in the world. And, you know, and you know the situation with Colby, like his grandmother's pretty much really close to, I don't know, maybe the devil or Hitler. I'm not sure which one.
You're terrible.
But it's true. And every once in a while, like, Rob will read one of your tweets or something like that, and I'll get a text that says, "Asshole." I'd be like, "What?" He's like, "Why can't Shelly be my mother-in-law?"
Well, oh, he's sweet, too.
No, he's not. No, he's a real turd. But, you know, thank you for coming on the Steve Carino Show, and I'm sure, you know, when you were thinking of possible son-in-laws in your daughter's future, you were not thinking of a big, dumb, gray-headed, fat guy with his own podcast.
Not at all, but I always thought, I guess most of your listeners are aware of the age difference.
No, but I guess they will.
They will be now. Yeah. I always pictured her, thought of her as being with somebody older, more mature type of thing, and that's what she got. So you got
half of that. you got the older, right?
No, now, for those, very happy with her choice.
Oh, thank you. For those of you that don't know, my wife and I have a little bit of an age difference. It's four presidents worth. So, you know, I guess my first question, it would be like, when Jordan and I first started dating, what was your initial thoughts? Were like, oh, God, this guy's too old, or?
Well, she lied to me about your age in the beginning.
Really?
Yes, she did. It was, I think she said, like, 32. Okay. That was maybe not quite 10 years. And then the next week it was 34. And then it was 35. And then it was, Jordan, like, actually, how old is he type of thing. But I don't, when you guys are together, I never see the age difference.
Is it because I'm immature?
I didn't say that. No, not at all. I don't think of there being an age difference between you. When you love somebody, and that's how it's always been with you two.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
And I have to tell everybody out there that if it wasn't for Shelly, Jordan's dad would not have been on board with our relationship, because he was thinking the same thing I would have thought if my daughter was dating somebody my age, like, what the hell are you thinking? And it took some talking to him, some time and everything like that. But yeah, it's been great.
He wasn't on board right in the beginning, but he has certainly come around.
Yes, it's great. You know, and one day I'm going to learn how to fish so I can hang out with them.
There you go. There you go.
Now, I found this website for questions to ask mom on Mother's Day. I asked my mom a few of them, and I'm gonna ask you one.
Okay.
Okay, here's one. How did you meet your husband?
I worked at Sears part-time when I was in college, and he was working there.
Holy shit, you guys worked together.
Yes, we did.
Oh.
Sounds like somebody else I know.
Right? Yeah. Me and Jordan worked together. But she didn't work in wrestling, people. I had a job other. Wow. I did not know that.
Yep.
Huh. Wow.
He always says he found me in the sporting goods department at Sears.
I tell everybody that when I shook Jordan's hand the first time, like, I felt like electric. But Nigel McGuinness will tell everybody that it was just static electricity, which is probably true. Okay, who's your favorite kid? Is it Jordan or Dan?
Jordan will say that it's Dan because that's like the family joke. She would always, when he was away at college and she was home, it would always be, you bought the good food. You know, Dan must be coming home this weekend, or, you know,
wow,
Dan's coming home type of thing. And it just started the family joke, like, well, you know, we like him more than you, Jordan. Why are you even questioning these things? And so she will tell you that he's our favorite. But no, they're both great kids. We've been very blessed.
That's true. And I have a very cool brother-in-law who loves baseball, and there's times when we're together that like I feel like we're kind of like teenagers. You know, we'll play PlayStation and you know let the girls do their thing, and you know, it's a lot of fun. My last question before I let you go is, what is giving you the most joy as a mother?
Watching my daughter become a mother.
Wow.
I always knew she would be a great mom just from her growing up and being, she always wanted to play house and be the mommy and with the dolls and the whole thing. And I always hoped and thought she would be, but she has become, she's very sure of herself. She's very confident. And she's a great mom. I can't, never wanted anything more for her than that.
And it's so true that you say that, because I'm not just saying that because she's my wife, but and she'll be on later on the show. But she is unbelievable with the baby. And you know, there are times when I think I know stuff because you know I have a kid that's about to graduate, and I think, oh, you know what, I've been through it all, and I know everything. And Jordan she knows. Like just these little things that come off so natural, and it's made the whole process since we found out that she was pregnant, all the way to all through the pregnancy, the birth, and now as the baby's 5 months old, it's made it so much fun. And you know, she's a great and fun mom, and I know she learned that off you, because you know you're always having fun. And you know, I got to thank you for that, because it makes the house less stressful, and I bring a lot of stress to this family.
Well, thank you. Anybody who can deliver and be in labor while a tornado hits the hospital is going to be good.
That's right, and that's going to be a story in November when the baby's born. We're going to go over our whole tornado kid story. But Shellpack, I want to thank you for being on our Mother's Day Spectacular, and I want to wish you an early Happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. That was my mother-in-law, Shellpack. Two great guests down, and one to go. The main event, the apple of my eye, the love of my life, the jelly on my peanut butter, the cream in my coffee. This is my wife, Jordan. Hello.
Hey.
And I could see her just going cringing every time I said it. Mm-hmm. Now, unlike my mother and my mother-in-law, who were, you know, we had to talk to on the phone, my wife's sitting right next to me, so I'd be able to get away with much. Now, you just had your mom on a couple minutes ago, and we got some great, great answers. And this week, when people listen on the PlaceToBeNation.com or on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, they're going to get a little bit of a different view of your mother. Now, I have a question. Before I get to my regular questions, my love, I asked her a very important question. I said, who is your favorite child? You or your brother, Dan? What do you think she said?
My brother.
Right. She only said, no, like she didn't say it like that. She said that you would say that. Because apparently, like when you were young, you used to say, oh, you got better food. Dan must be coming home this weekend.
Because it was the truth. When he was in college, or when he moved away after he was in college, I could always tell when my brother was coming home to visit, because she would make the homemade chicken pot pie with the homemade noodles. If it was just me, we'd have freaking canned Campbell's soup. She always stocked the cabinets with all kinds of food if my brother was coming home. And then when she would drive to North Carolina to visit him, she would bring all of his favorite foods from Pennsylvania that you couldn't buy in North Carolina. I don't think she's done that since we've been here.
Oh, well, no, she's brought us some Wawa coffee.
Oh, she has. All right, I take that back. She has.
Okay. So you're getting up there.
Yeah, I'm earning some more things, I think.
Now, I had my mother on. What do you think she said?
Kathy.
Right. Now, I have a list of questions that I got off the internet. It said, mm-hmm. like, ask mom on Mother's Day. Now, I could read these to my mother and your mother, but you're sitting in front of me, or you're sitting next to me. Now, one of these questions I asked your mother, and I wrote, how did you meet your husband? Now, I'm going to ask you the same question. How did we meet?
At work.
Right?
Yeah.
Was it love at first sight for you? Oh, that's a no. Now, it was love at first sight for me, as you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I always say that when I shook your hand, that there was electric that went through my body. Did that happen to you too? So it wasn't static electricity. See, Nigel McGinnis will tell you that it was static electricity, but wouldn't static electricity have to go through both of us?
I don't know.
Right?
Yes.
When did you decide I was the guy for you? When it was too late, or?
Oh, man. I don't know, probably a little bit after, I mean, we were friends for how long, and then started dating, and then.
Oh, so you didn't think I was the one for you before we started dating?
I had to try it out.
Holy shit. Now, did you know that your mother and dad met when they were working together?
Yes.
When did you ever tell me that?
Never came up.
Whew. All right, my last question, and this is going to be my favorite one. What is giving you the most joy of being a mother?
The smile that I get every morning when I go to wake Beck up, or when he's up, when I go to get him. That smile.
Ooh, very good. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the Steve Carino Show.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to do a podcast with you, but you always blow me off. I thought the Steve and Jordan Show would be freaking awesome. But you're not into it. And I wanna say, because this will play on Friday, I wanna say happy first real Mother's Day.
Thank you very much.
Oh, what do you want for Mother's Day?
An axle.
Okay.
And a tattoo.
Oh, a fucking tattoo too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, there it is. That's my wife, Jordan, joining us on the Steve Carino Show. Hey, when we come back, we have Twitter questions, some Twitter love. Ho, ho, ho. We got a lot of good stuff for you. And hey, I got a huge announcement on Steve Carino merchandise at the end of the show. Don't miss it. This is
Dear Mama. You appreciate.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, Giorgio Bellino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
are back. Don't ask me why I extend that. We are back so long. My three ladies, my mother and my mother-in-law and my beautiful wife, just on. But like I said, what other podcast gives you a Mother's Day spectacular like that? Dan, are there any other Mother's Day spectaculars on the Place to Be Nation podcasting family this week?
No, I believe we are one of a kind.
Yeah, they can all suck it, right? So this is one of my favorite segments. It's the Twitter listener Q&A. And if you ever have any questions, feel free. Tweet them at the Steve Carino Show. Not at the Steve Carino. At Steve Carino Show. Or by email. There's two different emails that you could do it. Steve Carino Show at placetobenation.com or Steve Carino Show at gmail.com. You know, I love answering questions, even if they're dumb. And just like the last 2 weeks, we're going to take times, take turns on what questions we got. You know, I'm a nice guy. Dan, would you like to start off this week?
Yeah, why not? I'll give it a go.
All right.
Our first tweet question comes from at Stephen J. Sutton, who is a big-time contributor to PlaceToBeNation.com. He writes our weekly honor report segment, and a lot of love for us on that, I will admit that. So we're going to show him a little bit.
Like our show.
He does, like, he puts up that banner with that swank picture of you. And he talks about what we're talking about. He mentioned the Mother's Day thing this past week.
That's very nice.
Yeah, I mean, after you're done reading my Superstars recap and then my Legends House recap, you should probably read his honor report.
I'm going to go to it.
anyway, as long as we're all just, you know, pumping our own tires. Steven writes, are there any plans of getting Jim Cornette or Alex Shane on this show?
Now, that is a good question. The chance of getting Jim Cornette on the show is politically impossible, but I would love to try. You know, where Jim Cornette and I was a Jim Cornette guy. Like, before I was a Paul Heyman guy, I was a Jim Cornette guy. He had gotten me plenty of tryouts with the WWE. He had opened the door for me to go to Memphis in the USWA in 1997 before they closed down. And he got me into the WWF dojo with Dory Funk Jr., and then when I worked for him in Ring of Honor, I hated him for a long time. It was, you know, it's just he's such a different personality. But, you know, I think we're okay now, and I would love to have him on. Alex Shane, on the other hand, is a guy that I've had a lot of fun with over the years. Back with his FWA in England, he was a great promoter and a great heel. And now he runs WrestleTalk in the UK, and it's on their it's on television, and it's a wonderful program. I would love to have either one of them on in the next couple weeks. And, you know, as we're talking now, in the next couple weeks, next week, my buddy Steve Goff, the voice guy, will be on with us in 2 weeks. Frankie DeFalco, former AWA jobber and promoter of Brew City Wrestling out in Milwaukee, will be on. Also, in a few weeks, Brad Cook from OOT Baseball, the guy that is giving me plenty of excitement on every plane that I take out on the weekends. He'll be on talking about OOTP Baseball. But, yeah, that's a great idea to try to either get Cornette or Alex Shane on the show. And we'll definitely work on it. We got a lot of great guests. I've reached out to guys like Scotty Riggs, my sister Allison Danger, and – you know, they're going to be on in the next few weeks. I don't want to plan too far ahead where I'd be like, hey, by the way, do you want to be on our show in November of 2016? And, you know, I feel like a total dick. Now, my question here is, and I see, Dan, that we have, he's got a secondary question. Should we answer that first, or?
We might want to break up the Sutton.
Okay. All right. And, Stephen, you got to change that name. You must be British. You know, in America, we call those people Stefan. That's one of my pet peeves. What's your name? And I, believe it or not, when I'm not wrestling, I refer to myself as Steven all the time. It's my way of breaking up my real name and my wrestling name because they're literally both the same. And everybody will go, is that with a PH or a V? It's with a V. My name's not Stefan. So Steven with a V. All right, this one, Justin with a J. Pratt emails, and the title's called Southern Wrestling. Hey, Steve, I'm a huge fan of your in-ring work as well as your work as an interviewer. I've noticed a lot of guys you interview are from the 80s Southern Wrestling era, which is a favorite of mine. What are your favorite Southern-style matches as well as wrestlers? I'd have to guess Tommy Rich was a big influence based on your work. Thanks, Justin Pratt. Now, that's a great question because I had grown up on Georgia Championship Wrestling as soon as we had gotten cable television in 1981. I was 8 years old. And Tommy Rich was my first favorite wrestler. And when I met him in ECW, he was a total jerk to me. And I was very upset about it. But he was definitely a huge influence on me because of the fire. Like, you know, his nickname was Wildfire Tommy Rich. But the way he could fire up a crowd and people loved him, I thought, man, I want that. Like, I want to be that type of babyface if I was ever, like, a good guy wrestler. And his matches with Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer or Ted DiBiase, and, you know, he was always fighting from underneath. And he was definitely a huge, huge influence on me. Other guys like Barry Windham and Michael Hayes, and, you know, guys that could talk and wrestle and didn't look like your normal, you know, people from, you know, this era will talk about the bodybuilders as opposed to I was a fan of the wrestlers because I wasn't that, you know, big kid or anything like that. But yeah, definitely. And I guess one of the reasons that I get a lot of the old school Southern wrestlers for our highspots.com interviews is, you know, they always have some great stories and they're not afraid to talk, whether it be Tracy Smothers or Tommy Rich or Eric Emery. And, you know, then with Kevin Sullivan or Action Mike Jackson, they always have a lot of great stories because it just seemed like the South, you know, it was a whole different world compared to the Northeast and the WWWF or the WWF. The many stories of the NWA and the little territories is, you know, fascinating to me and fascinating to the people that watch the old school videos. So, Justin, thank you for your question. And, Dan, you are up.
All right, Steve. Ironically enough, this is, or maybe coincidental, however you want to look at it, at Stephen J. Sutton just wrote this. Was it planned for Jerry Lynn to write, quote, die on his chest at Heatwave 2000?
It was his idea, but he didn't tell anybody. And it was more of, when we were talking over the match and getting the instructions and all this stuff, the only question he asked me was, I saw how you bled against Tajiri. Do you think you would bleed that much tonight? And my exact quote was, man, I don't know what happens. Like, I don't know how to do this. And it's true because people will talk about, oh, you're such a great bleeder. That's not a compliment, people. That just means that I didn't know how to do what I had to do to, you know, get that blood. And then I would make a mess out of myself. If you think that I enjoyed bleeding that much or looking the way my forehead does now, I understand it and I'm not ashamed of it. But that was never the plan. For Jerry did say something to me about, hey, I have this idea, and if it comes off, it's going to be very weird. I said, oh, okay. When he started writing on his chest, you can see it. If you're watching Heatwave 2000 on the WWE Network, you can see that, like, my face is in, like, awe. I'm like, what the hell is he writing? And when I realize that he's writing die, and, like, he lets me go, the crowd for a second gives a ugh, and they're stunned for a second before they start cheering. But it was a stun, like, that guy just wanted to die with someone else's blood on his chest. Whew. Man, that, it was very scary to look back on and think, like, yeah, somebody would do that. And to know Jerry Lynn, Jerry Lynn's one of the nicest guys ever. And for him to do that, I think shocked a lot of people. Now, next we got another Justin DiGurgolio. Nice Italian name, I think. Now, Justin asked, he said, do you have any entertaining and or funny CM Punk stories? Now, if you're a fan of RF Video, you may have seen the CM Punk, Samoa Joe shoot interview where they talk about Punk and I going into a tranny bar in England. And, you know, for all that fun and all the fun that we had in there, that's a great story, but it's been told so many times. I was thinking about this earlier today of a good Punk story, and let me tell you, like, a different side of Punk that a lot of people have never seen. 11 years ago, I was turning 30 years old, and my sister thought it would be a great idea for her to go around and videotape people, you know, saying, like, happy 30th birthday. And the video went around, and it was great. She got guys like Bobby the Brain Heenan and Jimmy Del Rey and a bunch of different, like, Florida guys, the Cuban Assassin, Ricky Santana, a lot of guys to say, you know, happy 30th birthday, blah, blah, blah. But then she took it to, like, the New Jersey and Pennsylvania indies, and everybody said, like, basically the same thing, like, oh, hey, man, you know, you're my best friend and this, and hey, how do I get into Japan? And it was like I would watch it, and I was just watching. And then there was these two guys. They were a tag team, and, you know, it's like, we love you, brother. We love you. You can book us in Japan. And I could see Punk's face in the background, and he's shaking his head in disgust. And I thought, oh, that was weird. So my sister at the time, it was my sister, Brandy Mankiewicz from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and CM Punk all lived in the same house, the wrestler house. And my sister brings over the video, and Punk's with her. And he goes, hey, you got a second? I said, yeah. He said, I'm not on the video. And I said, all right. He goes, you're my friend. And I just thought it was bullshit that every guy in there was asking on how to get to Japan. So I figured I would say happy birthday to you right to your face and not want anything in return. And I thought that was super cool, you know, because he went on to do so many great things in the WWE. And I always remembered that, you know, he cared enough about our friendship not to, you know, not just to boycott that little bit on the video, but to tell me why and to wish me a happy 30th birthday on my own. Dan, you are up.
It's a great story. And a great question, as long as we're talking about Japan, comes to us from a Facebook fan. His name is Brad PTBN. I'm not too sure about this guy, but I think he might be a big fan of what we do here at the Place to Be Nation.
And he's probably a big Tillman fan.
Yeah. He says, name a couple of your favorite matches from your Japanese tours that listeners can seek out.
Ooh, there's one. I always think, like, my favorite Japanese match was a match in Fukuoka, Japan. And it was me and Satoshi Kojima against Masato Tanaka and Shinjiro Otani. And it was my favorite match that I have never seen on video. Like I could sit here and bullshit you and tell you that I've had 1,500 five-star matches. But I really believe that on this show that, like, everything just went well. Loki was seconding me. And, like, there was something where, like, I was on the outside and he, like, taps on my boot and he goes, oh, that's really fucking good. And, you know, Loki was real hard to impress. And so that was one of my favorites. Another one of my favorites is a match I had with Masato Tanaka in 2003. And one of the reasons it's my favorite is my son Colby is in my corner. And he does an accidental run-in, being, you know, almost 7 years old, and starts throwing punches at Masato Tanaka and Shinjiro Otani. And here I am, and I had broken my hand during the match. He's punching them, and they're bumping like he is, you know, Daniel Bryan fighting off Evolution. It was crazy. It was great. So that one's one of my favorite. Anything with Takeo Mori, I had a great time with. Matches I had, one with Itsuma Hall with Shinya Hashimoto, and one that I had at Quirk and Hall where the crowd had turned and started cheering me because I was getting my ass beat so bad that they felt bad for me. That's one. And that's one I haven't seen on video either. So if you can search out November of 2002, Hashimoto Karina from Cork and Hall, that one I might be the most proud of. And I took a beating in that one. He had busted me open over my eyebrow. Like, he had hit my eyebrow and then blackened my eye with just kicks. And there was times, like, I used to write my son's name on my tape. he was kicking my hand so hard, basically like telling the fans that he was like kicking my son. And like the fans were getting into it and they were like cheering for me, and even though I was a big heel. But I also remember thinking, oh my God, this guy's going to break my hand. So I would search those out. All right, I guess it's my turn. And I think this is the last. Oh, this one. This one comes from Rob Dimension in a text. I won't give out his phone number, but if you go to any stall at any truck stop, I'm sure he's written it down there many a times. This one, he it says, question for your podcast. When you hear people within the industry constantly tearing down WWE, a company which everyone should want the same success, what impression does that give you of them? That's a great question. When I read the bitter people talk about, oh, you know, the WWE sucks, it's not wrestling, it's not this, it's not that, I think it's awful. It's disgusting because 9 out of 10 times these are guys that have never drawn a dime in their entire life. And they would, like I said earlier, they would give their left not to be a part of anything that the WWE would have. So there's times when I was on a show on Saturday where you heard a lot of, oh, you know, that stuff that's on TV today is all crap. And no, it's not. It's freaking great. It's drama. It's entertainment. It's athletic. Wrestling evolves just like everything else, and you got to switch with the times. And if you are burying the WWE, and you know, Greg, I'm not a TNA fan, but and I don't get their booking and stuff like that, but you're never going to see me tweet out or Facebook bullshit about TNA. If you're going to talk about something like in a negative way, go and tell your buddy, you know, text him or something like that. Don't put it on a public forum for people to see, because trust me, they're reading it. Dan, you like WWE?
I do.
Good. And you like John Cena. This is, you know, we're becoming tighter every week.
Yeah, we are certainly tight. You know, that was one of the things that people were saying after the first episode. They were like, "Wow, you guys have great chemistry." And
it's nice.
Yeah. Do you want to hear some more Twitter love?
I do.
I teased it earlier. I got to pay off on this tease.
Okay.
So probably not going to do this all the time, but it certainly does feel good every now and again to find out that there are people out there. We're not just talking to ourselves, but you know what? We probably would do this, you know, probably. Maybe not every week. But anyway, so these are some tweets that we got as a result from the last week, or actually from the last couple of weeks, and it's really good to hear from you. So we're just going to do some shout-outs here, some Twitter love. And our first one is at SmittyDog34, and he says, loved listening to at Cliff Compton on the at Steve Carino show. King Carino is a natural. And Dan's pretty good, too.
Now, I know John Smith. John Smith is a big fan out of Orlando, Florida. He's really cool. He was a very big supporter of the Extreme Odd Couple podcast, and he's a great supporter of Rob Dimension's film, so it's always great to have him on board. Now, the next one I saw was The Bull Smoke. That's his Twitter handle. And he says, thanks for the follow. And we're following guys that are following us because, yeah, you're our crowd. We want to know what you're into. Thanks for the follow. I enjoy the new show. Love Baseball Talk. Well, thank you, Z-Bull, because sometimes I believe that we don't get enough baseball talk on here. Look at the NL East. Everybody's over 500 at the moment. I mean, we tape on Tuesdays. Shit, stuff could be wrong on Saturday. I mean, the Phillies are having a hard enough time with the Blue Jays. But baseball's doing great right now. Weirdo Zank Greinke's 5-0 as of this now. There's 333 guys on the DL for Tommy John surgery. Whew! Man, there's a plethora of baseball talk to talk about, and we'll talk about it next couple weeks when Brad Cook comes on. It'll be fun.
Next up is at Big Stevie One, and this guy actually follows me, so I'm a big fan of this guy as myself, because he's helping my putrid Twitter numbers that we talked about last week. He writes, I've only got at Steve Carino show following me, King of Old School, it's the hashtag there. He goes, let's see if at King Carino will retweet my girlfriend at Cindy Strutt. Cindy spelt with an S, by the way, and King, did you pay off on that one?
We did retweet it from the Steve Carino show. I don't know if we retweeted it from King Carino, but did you happen to click on his girlfriend's Twitter?
I did not, but I might be tempted to do so right now on the air.
I'll wait if you want to do it.
All right, here we go.
Do 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 do.
Wow.
Do, right.
You know, I'm probably going to follow Stevie, but I definitely am going to follow Cindy.
Now, sometimes when you see somebody attached to your Twitter, you go, oh, I wonder why. And then you click on it, and then you get a crazy surprise. Well, that was a crazy surprise.
38J? Does that really happen?
I don't know. I'm trying to go through my alphabet real quick. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. That's big, man.
Everybody's now typing into their Twitter now as we speak, or getting onto Google, finding out what that means.
Yes. Recommend it. Now, the guy that had asked about the CM Punk question, he had tweeted us, it's J-D-I-B-I-R-G-I-L-I-O. He's got a little Virgil in him. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. That's not true, but I like being around him. Thanks so much for answering my question with a lot of detail, and the show is awesome! And awesome is in big letters.
Like Ms. Awesome.
All right.
I'll blitz through the next three because they're all pretty much the same, but at No Gimmicks Needed writes, thanks to the king of old school, Steve Carino, for following me. Asian Approved, at Asian Approved, I should say, says, holy crap, at Steve Carino Show is following me. At The Dave Dynasty wrote, at Steve Carino Show, thanks for the follow, at King Carino. And then another one, this one actually is a little bit better, at Spencer Jawitz, it's a little bit different, I should say, not better, they're all great. Good luck to my old friend and mentor at Steve Carino Show on his new venture.
And Spencer was, for many people that don't know, myself and Rob Dimension, Brian Regal ran the Premier Wrestling Federation from 2001 to 2004. And then Spencer had run it from 2004 to 2012 up in New England. And now that I'm in North Carolina, you know, and they're going with a new venture, they'd given me back the PWF name, and we are debuting on next Friday. So next week is our go-home show. Next Friday, May 16th, from the Hubert Bingo Hall. And if you call it the PWF Arena, I will kick you in the wiener. But we will be from the Hubert Bingo Hall, 400 Hubert Boulevard in Hubert, North Carolina. It's going to be great. Mr. Wrestling 3 versus CW Anderson. American Tiger. Might get... And Andrew Everett versus James Anthony and Victor Andrews. Moose Ojinaka, former NFL star, will be on there. Nightstick Eddie Brown. You can hear my cats fighting in the background. Probably beating up my poor little sassafras. And so much more. www.prowrestlingpwf.com. If you don't buy a ticket and you don't live in Eastern North Carolina, pre-buy one of the DVDs. Don't be cheap. That's, remember we were talking about contributing? Do that. All right. Dark One Undead. Like, who thinks of that? Dark One Undead. And I'm thinking of my Twitter handle. Dark One Undead. I don't know. It's like trying to read somebody's license plate. Spaz out moment of the day. At Steve Carino is following me. At Steve Carino Show is following me. Nice.
I figured he'd have more to say.
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe next week.
You didn't spaz out too much.
Yeah. Wrapping things up, M. Melchor writes, at Steve Carino Show, thank you, sir. So he's like talking Dickensian over here. Big fan of Extreme Odd Couple and this show. Hopefully we see you back here in Orlando real soon. And then finally, at that Drew Dude says, thanks for the follow at Steve Carino Show. I always knew being old school was awesome.
Wow. I want to thank everybody that wrote into at Steve Carino Show. And I'm glad we got to mention them. You know, it's the fans that keep the show going, and we're going to keep doing it. Get your questions in at Steve Carino Show. Also, by email, Steve Carino Show at gmail.com, Steve Curtino Show at placetobenation.com. That's going to basically wrap it up for this weekend. We got a lot of stuff going on this weekend. This weekend, I am in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, ROH Global Wars. It's going to be great. You can get it. If you're not at the Ted Reeve Arena in Toronto, you can get it on video on demand in the next couple days. Also, once again, next Friday, May 16th, PWF in Hubert, North Carolina, ProWrestlingPWF.com. Follow it on Twitter, at PWF Legacy. We got a lot of stuff. Twitter handles, I am at King Carino. I'm not at Steve Carino. Don't tweet me at Steve Carino. Some dipshit took that after I got married and I went to King Carino. So it's not. And it even says there, follow King Carino. So King Carino. Also follow PWF Legacy. Follow my wife, who was great on the show tonight, at Queen Carino. And my little back, my little baby, if you want to see you know, his daily life, at Baby Monster C. My son Colby's got two, at Dr. Colby Carino. And when he puts that hood on, he's at Go American Tiger. Mr. Wrestling 3 is at Legend of the Mask. Our guest this week, Shellpack, at Shellpack, and my mother, at Dubnut. Whew! Dan, what do you got for plugs?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter. I am over 100, as I said before, at DMCG, or DMCG4881. And we're getting the bump. Someday we'll catch back, I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. But right now we're trailing a bit. So that's DMCG4881. We're plugging the Kevin Kelly Show coming up. Is going to be a few big guests coming. Diamond Dallas Page, who had some other commitments this past week. He is on board for the next show. Also, the voice of the Boston Celtics, Sean Grandy, has expressed interest in joining us on the Kevin Kelly Show, not on the same day as DDP. So that is something to look forward to on the other ROH personality podcast here on Place to Be Nation. And of course, watch out for me on the myself and Scott Criscolo. It's really popular right now. It's the Legends House recap. We do we watch it and we do comments throughout it in a written form. It's pretty entertaining stuff. So check it out on placetobenation.com.
And don't forget www.worldofcarino.com. Get your limited edition 20th anniversary shirts. And I say limited edition because I will leave us with this. This week, I have signed on with ProWrestlingTees.com. So you will be able to, starting next week, you will be able to pre-order the Steve Carino Show podcast t-shirt. Oh, hell yeah. And there's going to be multiple t-shirts on there. American Tiger, the Carino Family Wrestling Dynasty t-shirts. There's going to be a lot, but ProWrestlingTees.com, and we'll also put it on the website. But from my man Dan McGinn, I'm Steve Carino. Thanks to our guests Shellpack, Dubnut, and my wife Jordan. This was and is the Steve Carino Show. We'll see you next week.